Hello, this is the Crush Monocle Podcast, the show where we talk about stuff, all the stuff. I'm your host, Coop. This is my co-host, John.
We 100% did not have technical difficulties before recording this episode.
No, we never have technical difficulties. Everyone has a good time and very on time.
Yeah.
Our guest this episode is an experimental trio from Montreal. They create heavy, fast-paced post-rock, utilizing elements of ambient, cinematic soundscapes, I can't talk either, exotic tempo changes, and the freedom to be both violent and beautiful. Here to discuss their latest album, A Chaos of Flowers, on Thrill Jockey, please give a warm welcome to Big Brave.
Yes!
Woo!
How you guys doing tonight?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
For those who weren't here when we were recording, I had to let them sit here for like 20 minutes while I figured out how to use this podcast app. We're 35 episodes into this podcast, and I still don't know how it works.
It takes time. It really takes time. Because that's not what you're doing this to interview and to talk to people. You're not doing it for the technical aspect.
Yeah, see?
Right?
That's the answer I'm keeping.
There you go.
Robin gets it. We got
yes.
it.
So if you guys would like to introduce yourselves so the listeners know, this is an audio podcast, thankfully, not video.
Well, that's good. Yes. My name is... Do I do my full name?
No, everybody will know who you are. For
yeah.
That
part. Oh, okay, so this voice is Robin. who does the singing and one of the guitars in the band.
This is Matt here, who plays the other guitar in the band.
Perfect.
This is Tussie, who plays the drum/percussion.
Yay.
Yes, and I am Coop. I play the really terrible host with technical difficulties. We always start off the show with talking about what we've been listening to recently, over the past, you know, week or month or whatever you guys want to. What have you guys been listening to?
If you want, I can go first to kind of like set the tone, and sometimes it's easier just to kind of...
Yeah, you want... Yeah.
Yeah, cool. I like that.
Okay, sweet. So I have a kind of a few maybe obvious ones. Like, we try to like do deep dives on this, you know, like, because you can always go to Pitchfork or like Brooklyn Vegan or like whatever and get their best of lists, and you know. So my first one is the new Sir album, and I really hope that people aren't listening to this podcast for R&B recommendations, especially from me. But the new Sir album's really good. He's on Top Dog with like Kendrick Lamar and all that shit. But like,
cool.
He's kind of one of those like maybe not as appreciated artists that's on that label. And he just does like really cool kind of futuristic, I guess, or like progressive kind of R&B stuff. And I just really awesome. Love his stuff. So I think that that's worth definitely checking out. I recently discovered this band called Fat Randy, which is kind of an insane name, but they are really cool. I think they're from Massachusetts, and if they're not from Massachusetts, I'm sorry, Fat Randy. But they have a really cool EP out that's kind of noise rock, kind of everything that I always gravitate to noise rock. So, you know, that's just kind of where we're at. And then the new Chicano Batman, which I think is fucking amazing. They've been around for forever, and it's just really kind of like, I hate calling music slacker because it's not like they don't try, but it kind of has like this like relaxed vibe, kind of chill vibe, you know. It's like Mac DeMarco kind of is that person, but like, you know, there's other bands that kind of do like a loungy kind of more chill style or whatever, and Chicano Batman does that, and they have a ton of songs in Spanish, which I think is fucking amazing. And so that's 100% worth checking out. So, and like their other albums have kind of been a little bit more kind of lo-fi, and this one has like really kind of big production on it. So if you know that band before, definitely check this album out. But like, yeah, like that's kind of been on heavy rotation for me. Coop, I only did one noise rock. I did like two other genres this time.
See, this is evolution happening in real time.
And then, like, you know, the Big Brave album comes out really soon, but I'm not going to, we'll talk about that later. So,
right.
Sorry, what? How do you spell, is it Sir, like S-I-R?
Yeah, so he spells it weird. So capital S, lowercase I, and then uppercase R, or capital R, uppercase R, or whatever.
Sweet. Excellent. Yeah, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, he has, like, really good albums. He has, like, this really weird concept album where he's, like, stuck on a spaceship, but he's, like, singing love songs, like, R&B songs the entire time. And then you get this, like... And then you get this weird AI voice that's like, you have been stuck on this ship for 2,000 years. And then he's like, my ex-girlfriend. And he's like, you're still on the ship. You know, like, it's pretty funny. But yeah, he's awesome. Like, definitely check him out.
Sweet.
I've been listening to Ana Lua Cayano, who is like...
Okay. Oh, sweet.
This, like, Portuguese artist. But like, it's kind of clubby, actually, which I don't, it's, like, not my, I don't generally go to that.
Yeah.
But it's just really good. I don't know. It just feels like a,
Portuguese stuff is always so good. Like, it always kind of has this, like, samba, like, bossa nova vibe. Does she get, okay, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
And it just, but I don't know. Also kind of like somebody else whose name I don't remember from that place that I don't remember. Yeah.
Classic Tussie. You're getting a little window into like Tussie trying to explain something. I heard this podcast with the guy whose name I don't remember.
She's in good company here, trust me.
It sounds like Juana Molina's voice a bit, like where the
yes
like kind of rolling in a really cool way, but it's a bit like clubby. It's cool.
Yeah,
cool, love it.
Yeah, she's pretty awesome.
I know I spelled that wrong, but I wrote it down, so
yeah. I mean, the Google will help us out, I swear.
Yeah.
What about you, Matthew?
We just saw Tongue Depressor, and I've been listening to them a lot.
Okay.
Like 50 tapes, but just seeing them kind of just like made me just revisit their catalog. Great drone duo. I don't want to call it drone. It is drone, but there's no guitars. Like, it's either like they play all the instruments, the slide guitar, bagpipes, and a bass, tape loop. So it's just like, I think now when you think of drone, it's always just like a guitar into a reverb pedal, but this is just unprocessed instruments played in long sustained tones, and it's just like they're just so good at what they do. It's just like two weirdos from Connecticut that I'm really into.
Love it.
Yeah, they were awesome. As we went to see them as a band, and Tussie, Matsuri, and I went to go see them.
As friends / bands / people that like each other.
But shoot, it was I bought their the tapes that they had available. I bought their tapes. Haven't listened to it yet because I like to savor the moment. But their live set was amazing. They were quite. Oh, it was just so nice to see. Also, like, drone, but in a way experimental too. Just to see a live show that is kind of not just inspiring, but full on engaging. I'm not one to talk, but I have seen a lot of shows and just for sheer fact of like playing live a lot, and and so my attention span is already very short.
I get it. I don't blame you at all.
Right.
but there is not, again though, like, to be fair, there is nothing like live music. If I'm not drawn to it if I'm not drawn to the recorded version of it, if I hear it and get to experience it live, it usually just, it just has so much more, I don't know how to explain it. It's just better. I just love live music. It doesn't matter what it is.
It's a game changer. Like, there's sometimes bands that I'm like kind of on the fence. I'm like, oh, I'll go check them out. And then I see them live and I'm like, holy shit. Can I buy all three t-shirts? I need all three t-shirts. Like,
yes, you know, I know.
Yeah. Or there's like a band that I love, and I'm like, holy fuck, can I get a tattoo next? Like, I don't know what to do, you know? Like, and then I kind of like lurk around and like stand by their merch table, and I'm like, hey, just want to let you guys know you did a really good show. Okay, I gotta go. Hey, thanks, guys. Okay, bye.
You didn't
notice
like
say, yeah. Okay. Okay. See ya. Thanks. I get it.
Yeah. So I guess I've been listening to on repeat. This says a lot about how I listen to music, but like on repeat, this one track by Zacchaeus Paul. He doesn't have very much out there except for like maybe like just more singles and EPs than anything. He is a featured artist. I think he's more of a producer, maybe. I haven't done a deep dive into his stuff yet, but because I'm again, I'm just savoring the fact that I really love this one track. And I'm also really afraid to get to know or get to find out information about artists.
Yeah.
Because I worry that I'm like, oh, like that there's going to be a reason why I can't support them.
Right. The way I do.
But the track is called Hot Fries. It's a single that came out in 2021. Okay. And it's just it's mostly R&B. Cool. All he does is like R&B, and but that's been on repeat for the most pretty much.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Well, normally I always have an R&B album that I recommend, but this time I don't. I'll make this really quick, but the three things that I've been listening to the most over the past month. Number one is the new Casey Musgraves album.
Jesus, Coop, come
listen,
on.
Hold up.
So Casey Musgraves.
This album's actually really good. I hate country music. It's not really country. It's more of like a Carpenters type of thing.
Coop, you're killing me. You're killing me.
I'm telling you, it's a good album.
Yeah, is it like new country?
It's, I guess she's like a country artist, but it's...
No,
it's,
but like new country.
Yeah. Right, yeah, it's like more like pop, you know?
Okay. The fact that these guys don't know who Casey Musgraves is just proves how cool they are.
No, wait, Tessie, yeah. Between you and I, would I like them?
I actually like it.
Oh, see?
Awesome.
Because I was on tour with Allie, like, but she would play it every morning, and she would just blast it and be just like dancing around. And I'd be like, "Oh my god!" But if I ended up liking it after, you know, after 2 weeks, whatever. But
fair.
But otherwise.
This album is very the production's really dry. It kind of reminds me of Rubber Soul from the Beatles, and the songs are very chill. There's even like a Velvet Underground sample in one of the songs, so not typical country. But on the cooler music, the other things I listened to was a band called Brute Spring. The album is called Brute Spring is the guy from Science Man. I don't know if you've ever listened to them. It's kind of like experimental type music. This is more like industrial, but with garage band elements. So it's real instruments. Cool. It's kind of psychedelic, kind of ragga rock type. It's very, very groovy. It's dance music, but it's still industrial. So that's super cool. And then the other thing I listened to is by a band called Renewer. The album's called Sun. It's they're like a shoegaze.
Is that the one you sent me the other day?
I sent you that the other day.
Yes, that was dope. Yeah, that was super dope.
There's some heavier elements like Deftones, but for the most part, it's real pretty. There's some
it's
pop
super books. Cinematic, like super cinematic.
Yeah,
like,
very very cinematic. It yeah, it's yeah. it's shoegaze, but it's not the overly reverbed, static kind. It's you know it's real yeah. lush and symphonic, because would be the word I would use.
Yep. That's fun.
That's what I listen to.
Very cool. Yeah.
Being that you're now that we've got that out of the way of me yeah, and John's
we
been
spent
listening.
Way too much time talking about other people's bands besides the band that is currently on the podcast.
Earlier when I did the description of you guys, I called you guys experimental. Are you cool with that label?
Yeah, 1000%.
All right, good. Good, because the second part of my question was going to be, when you say experimental, how experimental are you guys? Do you go in with nothing and just start throwing stuff together and see what sticks? How does the songwriting process go for you guys?
Yes.
Next question.
Next question. Not to speak for Matt's ear, but a lot of the times it's he spends a lot of time at our practice space experimenting with just his tools, basically, which are his like pedals, his guitar, and his amps and stuff, and kind of out of a lot of the times heavily inspired by like a track from an artist or a riff or a concept or something to that effect, he'll just take it and kind of run with it. And then I usually come in and we start to sort of ping pong ideas and work through things, and that's when I'm able to that's usually when I'm a terrible speaker. Fuck, sorry. Oops. Oh,
no, you can swear. Say all the swear words you want.
Yes.
Oh, it's okay. Shit, yes. Sorry. Okay.
Shit. Oh, it's fine.
The okay. more colorful, the better.
Yeah, no, sorry. I'm a terrible speaker, so I'm better at writing. But we tend to ping pong, and then we tend to like work out the as much as possible, because the sort of the basically like the heartbeat, obviously, not to be super cheesy, does eventually come from Tussie and what she brings, and then so everything is kind of like preliminary. There might be some like a couple of like main bone structures, and then some I don't know blood vessels and muscle, and then yeah, the heart. But then together we tend to make the body of work whole in the end. Yeah. Mm. It also depends on the album, though. It keeps changing, but I think, I don't know, Metzger and Tussie, would that be accurate?
Yes.
Metzger?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate.
Yeah, because usually when I'm coming in, you both kind of figured out like the story or something, and then we find the like the line all together, which is pretty fun. But also this record, there was a lot of room left for the studio, which was different for Big Brave, I think, like, because normally it would be like everything's planned out like quite like to you know, every bar, every beat is like it's all sorted out. But this one, we intentionally left room, especially working with Seth, because he like also knows how to work with the band, and how like what, you know, we kind of left him to be a member too, I think.
Tassie, I actually have a question for you because listening to the new album.
Yeah.
There's seen
your face. I'm sorry.
Sorry. Was no, that bad? I'm sorry. I just got
because she's just like, what, for me? And her eyeballs. Anyway, I'm so sorry.
Well, so, I mean, obviously, like, I'm a huge fan. Like, I consume all your guys' stuff. Like, I saw you guys right after A Gaze Among Them at Diabolical Records in Salt Lake City. And then you were on a bigger tour, and I want to say it was with Torch, but I can't remember. But I was on like a family vacation and couldn't go. God, it wasn't with Torch; it was with somebody like 3 months later, and I can't remember where it was or that's with what band. Do you remember? It was like in the summer, right after A Gaze Among Them came out, and you guys played Diabolical by yourselves with a couple local openers, and then like 3 or 4 months later in September, you came back with opening for somebody nice.
With Sun.
Yes, that's what it was, Sun. I don't know why I said Torch, my bad. Thank you so much. Yes. Anyways, huge fan. So Tassie, like, my question for you about the new album is there feels like a ton more brush instead of like actual drumsticks, or you know what I mean, like
wow.
I'm not a drummer, so I'm talking dumb shit. Anyways, like, tell me, obviously that was intentional, but like, is a different vibe? Like, was that like a band decision? Was, you know, just maybe kind of like speak to that a little bit if you can.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how the decision came to be, but it was kind of with the intention of like making it, not necessarily heavy, but impactful, not with like the, like, you know, the use of, you don't need to do like hard hits. To have the effect of like, just like, I don't know, to kind of breathe into the music a bit more. And I think that brushes have a really good way of doing that. Like, just to hear the texture of them, I think is just really pleasing. And brushes and like little like bundle things. And it kind of just like got weirdly jazzy. And
yeah, I thought it was so cool. Like, as I was listening to the album, I was like, you know, still has the same vibe from, you know, what you guys do, but like, it gave it just kind of this more like kind of washy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
totally. Yeah. I feel like it sinks in a different spot, I think. And then of course, yeah, you can use the studio so you don't, it's not going to be like, you can close mic everything and make it really loud. So it's not going to get lost, which rehearsing, I think it was a bit hard to tell like how that was gonna go, I think, but
yeah,
just like, if I don't know, but yeah, using the studio as a kind of open playground there was pretty good. I think it got the point across.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was like a cool element, like compared to like previous records where there wasn't as much of that. You know what I mean?
Totally. So, it was gonna be our quiet record. So we're like, well, let's go full quiet with brushes.
Yeah, I loved it. I thought it was super cool.
It's always when I listen to your music, it's always hard for me to pinpoint one particular instrument because everything is so blended perfectly. The band is the instrument. So what you were saying is kind of like more of an airy kind of vibe with the drums being with more texture rather than just straight up beats. The guitar too, I wanted to ask about, because being that you guys, like I said, it's all one sound, there's some definitely more distinctive guitar elements in this record. With the lead single that I Fell the Funeral, to me the little guitar riffs that kind of run through there almost have like an Indian kind of sitar kind of vibe. I'm not going to get into the big music theory thing, but that really stood out to me. Was that like a conscious decision to actually make more singular kind of melodic lines with the guitar rather than just more feedback and noise?
I think it was utilizing the similar techniques that we always have, where it's like the feedback is like the main tool, but instead of just having long sustained tones, we're like, how do we play parts, but also use that feedback? So that's why it sounds more like maybe like a sitar or something, where there's just like these continuous.
Yeah.
So it was like mixing gentle, more plucky playing with those elements of feedback.
Yeah.
And, it was really just like, okay, we've done enough of like the one long sustained tones, but we still like that. So how do we incorporate more color and brightness and sparkle? And that's what it ended up sounding like. But I mean, they're all kind of like mistakes. It's something that we're trying to do, but it's very unpredictable at the same time. Like that part wasn't written before, and then it just like happened there. And so it's some happy accidents, but just trying to put all the influences together.
Yes, happy accidents are the best. Like,
you know, I mean, this whole band is a happy accident, so it's
love it. Yeah, to expand on what Matt's here is saying, and what Tussie touched on about the sort of writing and recording process. It's all experimentation. We're all just kind of like these. There is a piano and a bow handy. Let's see what
you know. Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And given that Seth Manchester, who's been recording us for the last handful of albums, is like he doesn't turn his brain off ever. It seems like when it comes to thinking about sounds and textures and effects and production and music in general. Matsir is the same too, I noticed. And so it really is like all in all, it just kind of ends up becoming basically a collaboration, and it doesn't matter. Like, I mean, of course it matters it does matter. Even if like we start with an idea, it ends up morphing into something completely different.
For sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And only because of the collaboration between not just us three, but us and Seth. Which then to go back to your original question, Coop, about is it okay to call us like an experimental band? I think in essence, absolutely, mm-hmm. because that's what we do. We're just not like the typically sounding experimental band, I guess you could say. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, yeah, 100% makes sense. Right. Yeah.
Going with playing live, how do you guys manage to get what you play on the record to a live setting? Like, I imagine every venue would have to be completely different sound-wise, acoustics and setups and stuff. Like,
I will say I've seen them live and they sounded fucking spectacular.
Yeah, like,
and they played in a record shop. Like, the record shop was not prepared for Big Brave, like, at all. There's like racks of records. There's like aisles. There's fucking doors in and out, and they sounded spectacular.
Yeah, like how?
So good.
Like, how do you guys do that?
Magic.
The magic of the hardest working band.
Yes, yeah, yes. Yeah, so there we go. There we go.
Hours and hours of, like, quite literally hours and hours and hours and hours and days and weeks and months
and years amplifiers. I mean, we had the amps
but it's like, yeah.
So now I'm an asshole for calling it magic because it's actually really fucking hard work.
It's not magic. No, that's actually really nice because it's like it actually shows that the hard work pays off. Mm-hmm. That our time, like the time that, you know, Metz here spent over the course of most of his life, and then for me, just the time I've been in this band trying to figure out what I can do with what we can do with the guitar and the few pedals at first, and then maybe a very specific kind of amp, and like we just used what Metzger had on hand because mm-hmm. he had played in a bunch of bands before, and that's kind of how it started. And then So, you know, if you saw us play live, like even the album before A Gaze Among Them or the album before that, or even like when we first started,
yeah,
it would have been embarrassingly not great. But also, you know, it's just a lot of work. But all that to say, like, yeah, it's really nice to hear, like, quite motivating to hear that just the amplifiers and just what we had on hand, because yeah, at a record shop, there's, other than the PA for the vocals, there's no sound.
Yeah, there was literally nothing. Yeah. And like things impeding, I would say, like, you know, like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
But
yeah.
I feel like Robin and Metto, you both like really understand what you are doing and your instruments and your amps and how to listen to each other too, to make sure that everything is like you take the time in soundcheck and you know, and all the time in rehearsals and stuff to actually like you want it to sound really good. So it's yeah, it's not just like, yeah, plug in and this is how I'm gonna do it. It's like you take the time. So there's a lot of that.
It's mind blowing how you guys like harness feedback. It's not just guitar squealing. It's like, it's awesome. Like I my brain can't even like fathom how you guys do it.
I learned from Matsiru because I was like, because how his brain just doesn't turn off. And he's just like if he's not actively researching or actively in the practice space or whatever, figuring shit out. Oops, I forgot my train of thought. What? Anyway, no, I like learned from Matsiru because I didn't even know you can control feedback, but like through just, and like, this is the first band I've ever played in. And, he's the first guitar player I ever played with. And so, right. You know, just observing like kind of like what he does. I was like, well, shit, let's try that. Yeah. And then it's a matter of like, what is feedback? It is, I don't know the actual, I can't tell you the science, but I know through intuitively positioning your guitar with right, to your right. amp mm. and cab, and depending on the effects will have an effect on what you can do. So there's a lot of like,
yeah, you have a little dance that you do when you're like, you're just like, oh.
Yeah. 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 Like, it's like robotic and I guess odd, but it's just like, oh no, wait, oh no, yeah. That's bad, oh there it is.
Yeah it takes you, yeah, in at every sound check there's like a, you have your, you got your dance and then you're like, okay, I understand.
I mean, like, I understand. watching Matt's like live, I've only seen you guys once, but like obviously I'm a creep and like watch all the you know, like audio tree stuff and everything like that, and it's like I can kind of see like the intricacies of like, let's push this, we're kind of gonna move the guitar this way, you know. And like, Matt, I actually have a question for you, like what do you decide, or maybe this kind of like a group thing, like what goes on like the solo album as opposed to like the band album, you know, like how do you handle that stuff? Because I know you have a new one that's coming out in May, right?
Yes, correct, in May. I mean, a lot of the solo stuff is just ideas that I would maybe bring to the band, but I think there's only so much the band can do, and I want to just be playing music all the time, so I have to just keep ideas for myself on the side. But sometimes it's just clear what will work on its own, and then also you just know what'll sound really good with Robin and Tussie backing it. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, the whole feedback thing too, like, it's not like we played guitar like this before this band. It developed with this band.
No, I know, but
it's just like, yeah, so it's just like, I think like the way we use feedback keeps changing also, because it's like, this band is like what made me like discover feedback. It was like a few years into the band, and then we're like, oh shit, this is really fun. And then it just keeps going and going. But with and yeah. it's just like without the Big Brave Band, like I don't think either of us would be playing guitar like this. This was like the vehicle to experiment. And I think moving forward, like if I play, if we all play in different projects, like we'll utilize what we've learned. But it was really just like a product of how we came to make music together and what we enjoyed making together. Which makes sense. Yeah.
Do you ever get like the like just urge to just like play some like fucking speed metal or some random shit that has like nothing to do with feedback?
Oh my god, you should take a mojo. Like maybe not speed metal, but like you should take a like sometimes I want to just have like a secret little camera with the sound at our.
He's just rocking like post punk, punk, oh, post bug, like just magical, like fucking.
What was it that both you and Tessie and Matsir, both of you were jamming the other day? The. What song was it?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Everyone knows it. You hear it and you're just like, oh, that song.
Sounds like one of my stories.
That's funny. Song. Yeah. I don't remember what the song was, but it's everyone knows it. So, but actually to like, based on what you're saying, Tessie, yeah. for example, because it's such minimal drumming in between bouts of like practicing over and over again, either a riff or a piece of a song or the whole song or the whole set. Tessie will just often break out into like some crazy drumming just to get it out of the system, like
just like a punk beat, just straight up, just like
some kind of like math beat or whatever, which is
just gotta get the wiggles out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
The new record, you guys, most of your albums, all of your albums, are very cohesive from start to finish. They're very, very albums. You know, I called that one song the lead single a minute ago. It's really not singles. It's just part of the album. Mm-hmm. What's this new record about thematically?
Thematically, like are you in terms of
lyrics, performance, the nuance?
Okay, so So
or just one. You don't have to do like all nine of the things that
yeah, that's right. Either way.
Let me just get all of the lyrics out.
Yeah.
There we go. Perfect. Perfect.
No, the I sort of like conceptually, I guess, or thematically you can say, or rather, we realized, again, like this wasn't on purpose, but we realized that this is kind of like the sibling album to Nature Morte, the previous album. Mm-hmm. So conceptually, thematically, that album, the previous album, had a lot to do with just sort of like a window into what was happening with regards to how we not only treat each other, but how we treat our environment, and and basically like me personally being marginalized in many ways. The experience, my experiences are unfortunately very common. It's just that not everybody, other than us, we don't like, no one else kind of talks about it, or it's not part of the mainstream thought or whatever, like either way. So the Nature Morte is the cause of, it is the reality, the cause, and then A Chaos of Flowers is the effect. So, you know, being unintentionally a politicized body human because of my identity. The reality of my existence and actually just, you know, the reality of a lot of people and unfortunately most of the world is shitty. Again, I'm super privileged. It's not as shitty as a whole population basically being killed off, right? Of course. We need to have perspective, but you know, knowing this, it doesn't take away from the fact that it kind of, how do you say, generates or manifests depression, mental collapse, deep sadness, grief, paralyzing grief. What does that look like? And then finding bits of, and in the chaos of flowers, like, you know, the melodies might be, you know, pretty, or there's this one song, like there, the second track, Not Speaking of the Waves, is just about sharing intimacy, and beauty. And even in those deep moments of sadness and mental collapse, you do find bits of solace. So I kind of like put that in there to just, I don't know, just represent what this kind of looks like. Sure. And then to, like, that was an accident. What I ended up doing before I realized what I was doing was the collaboration we did with the body.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Inspired me to look for other folk songs, but then I for this album, but I was like, no, I did that. I kind of want to save that for maybe another thing. Like, I don't think we need to dive into that right now. But you know, being an avid reader and being that I do love poetry, I ended up looking for poetry that was part of the public domain, and then I quickly realized that most of all of the poetry that is part of the public domain is written by a very specific demographic of like white dudes.
Yep.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So I even though like there might be a sentiment that I could relate to, I personally didn't find a deep connection that would draw me in. And then I went into a rabbit hole, and I rekindled my love for certain poets. And then I just realized that there's like this intergenerational sort of transcendental cross-cultural experience with not just women, but queer people of color and people of color. And, you know, most of the marginalized people and indigenous people's reality that hasn't changed. And then I was like, oh, interesting. So kind of tied it all in together quite nicely by accident. I guess that's what, yeah. Huh?
Happy accident. Sorry.
Happy, yeah. Happy accident.
Just circling back to the...
Yeah, just gonna circle back to the and put this forward again. Can you please reply? Anyway, sorry.
No, yeah. I mean, I really love the like insight that like these albums, like the previous album and the new album, are kind of like together. Mm. I mean, obviously, like the album art itself like makes more sense. You know, I mean, your guys' album art is always so like amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, and obviously, like, I don't think it's fair for me. I don't think it's fair for me to like speak on like what your inspirations are, like, you know, that type of stuff. But like, I honestly really love the insight, and I really mm-hmm. appreciate you like sharing stuff like that, because for me, you know, like being like, you know, cisgender white guy, you know, like just, you know, like this type of stuff matters. And like, I really do appreciate like the insight, and like, it's part of the reason that I love this band, you know, and like appreciate this band. So thank you for sharing that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's so nice.
Yeah, that's interesting that you bring that up. That's something that, again, as a straight cis white dude, I didn't even think about, that most poetry is a public domain is men.
Yeah.
I can kind of tightens that album up in that sense that you said that it was like a light switch just going off. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, and not just that, like, if you look at what's been published even in the last 100 years, mm-hmm. it is mostly, granted, there is a lot more now, of course, but like, I did a deep dive, and what I kind of gathered is it is mostly like Emily Dickinson, the first track off the album. I think, don't quote me on this, but she had, I don't even think she reached the double digits in published works when she died. It was only after she died that.
That's insane.
Right?
Yeah.
prolific at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of shows you what, and that wasn't even. That was less than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
That was less than 100 years ago.
Yeah.
Sure. Right? So it also kind of just kind of shows us how much more work that needs to be done, I guess. I don't know.
Yep.
Just how far we, might have come, but it's not near, like, it's like a snail's pace.
Mm-hmm.
That we're going with regards to that kind of thing anyway.
Yeah, for reals.
And it's weirdly, like, sadly comforting that it's like that you have all this company with you too. Right?
Whoa.
That is so fucking apt. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is true. It is true, because when I did do this deep dive and read a lot of these poets' works and other poets that aren't like inspired, that I didn't utilize for the album, I was comforted, Tessie.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. I was like, oh shit, this is, I'm not insane.
Yeah, it's not just me now. It's like so many people for all time.
Yeah. You know?
Sick. Yeah.
Well, not to take away from any of that at all.
No.
What about like musical, you know, like instrumental, like musical inspirations for the album?
Okay. So what ended up happening was, I was waiting for anyone else's week, but what ended up happening.
I mean, now I know we got like jazz drums, you know, jazz brush drums. But what about the guitar and the drones and the effects and all that shit? So,
yeah.
What ended up happening was when Matsir and I, were no sorry it was well into before we were recording, or maybe not, I don't remember, but Matsir kept saying, like, I think the next album we could do a quiet, quote-unquote quiet album, and I'm like, oh yeah. but then doing Nature Morte like in the practice space, it dawned on me that, like, no, I feel really good. It was solidified and confirmed when we were recording and then listening back. But leading up to it, really, I personally felt really satisfied with what we've done in terms of volume. And Matsir, you said, I forget what
you use not just heaviness and loudness and volume, but something else. Anyway, yeah, like, and it's not that we're not ever going to go back there and muck around. It's sure. just like, I felt like all of this, all of the last like 10, 12 years culminated into that album and what we were, trying to do. And then when we were recording Seth, independent of like Matsira and I talking, Seth, independent of this, he was just like, yo, I think next album, which should be a quiet album. And so like all of us, Tessie was like, yes. And all of us were just like, yes.
I'm getting the brushes. I'm getting the brushes.
Yeah. Leading up to writing was just like, let's try a writing and recording a, quiet album, so to speak.
Yeah, quiet for you guys. I'm like, okay, cool.
Yeah, I think too, because it was where we had all kind of talked about it, but how going into the collab with The Body, it was kind of like, okay, expected double loud thing.
Yeah,
right.
And then we're hell no, it's actually going to be like completely different, like folk album. So then once we had kind of broken that already, then we were kind of like, actually, we don't have to stick to anything. Like, it's, we can, it became very free after that point, I think. But
yeah.
I mean, I don't mean to like put my own like definition on this, but like the new album, like you guys always kind of like pummel, which I love. That's kind of like, I'm like, oh, I want to be pummeled. Where's Big Brave? But like this, with the kind of like new vibe and like the quieter aspects, like it had this, like, at least for me, like a charm that maybe wasn't there before. Do you know what I mean? Like it was like this like charming, kind of relaxing, like, yes, I'm being pummeled, but like this feels kind of like really kind of like awesome. You know what I mean? And it always felt awesome before, but it was more kind of like, you know, like an XL type situation. You know?
Oh, that's really nice.
And maybe that's not fair to me to tell you guys as band, you know, as creators, but that's just how it felt. Like,
well, it's definitely more musical. Like, there's chord changes and there's melodies. I mean, we've been doing kind of the one chord song for the last six records. And like Natural Monk were like,
right,
songs that have chord changes. And then it was just so hard to do that when we got stuck in that single note song structure. And then with this one, we're just like, it just felt right again. Like, I was constantly trying to add different notes to songs, and it just felt so weird to like break out of the drone. But for some reason this time around, we're like, we're able to do it where it didn't feel like a cop out, like, oh, let's write some songs. It just like, it felt natural for some reason. Don't really know why. I think because this like The Body record, and then the Natural Moth, and then worked our ways back into like more traditional songwriting after having completely abandoned that for like 8 years or something.
Yeah,
we're just playing music. Yeah.
That makes sense. That makes so much more sense. Like, it kind of gives it this like more like flow, because you're doing like more chord progressions.
So we're doing that, but then there's still the underlying drone. It's just like, I think it took all this time to do the one thing and to go back to, which is like the most basic thing, is like four chords in a song. But then we're doing that now, but with everything we've learned throughout the last few years. So that's kind of what this record is.
It already makes you want the new record, and I've only listened to this one like 12 times.
But to touch on what both of you are saying, it's that relief that you're experiencing, I think, has to do with the chord changes. Whereas,
yeah, that makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. Like, it honestly does. Like,
right?
Yeah.
Because when you listen to anything that is just the one chord, and it can be like a beautiful chord, there is a tension.
Mm-hmm.
Tons of tension, I think.
Right. Yeah.
From my,
Yeah. And, And yeah, tension and intensity. 100%. And it doesn't matter what kind of melody you weave in and out of that one note home, it only adds to the tension and intensity. Mm-hmm.
But that's where your vocals come in, yeah. Like, as like a thing, though. You know, like on previous records, I mean, I'm not trying to take away from the discussion on the new run, but no. You know, like the vocals kind of like, you guys build so much intensity, at least on previous albums, and then your vocals come in and they're kind of like weaving in and out, and then it's okay, you know, like, but anyways, back to the new album.
I mean, yeah, I feel like...
No, it's good. It's
actually... Oh, I just feel like your vocals always saved us with the past records to add some like, color and hope, because, and then also it was a lot of a challenge, like quite a bit of a challenge for you, Robin, I think, because it's like, how do you create a vocal melody over one bass note? But you did it, and that was kind of the core changes then. So I mean, we're never anti melody, but now we're just like, I don't know, kind of switching up, but
yeah,
we leaned into it. Yeah. Now we get to lean into it. I feel like we've given ourselves permission to do what we want to do with respecting our, I don't even know what the word is. Just respecting the history. We don't ever look back. We don't like to look back and listen back. Necessarily, because it I personally don't like to be influenced by that. Yeah, right. I really like to move forward, but I don't ignore what I've learned,
right?
Because that's informing what I'm currently doing and will do, right? So I forgot what I was gonna say.
Well, I mean, that's what you was talking about, tension, and when actually what John was saying about relief, that makes even more sense, knowing that this is almost like a companion piece to the last record.
I know, like, I feel like I need to go, like, back to back. I'm like, hit me with all of it.
Because, like...
I got, like, 2 hours. Hit me.
Yeah, your last record is probably my favorite because of that tension. It just was like Matt was saying, it was like all the one notes, and you were doing all the heavy lifting melody wise. But now with this record, when I first listened to it, I'm like, oh, well, they're, you know, trying something different. And like I pointed out the guitar stuff a little bit ago. But now that you said it as a release, it just makes so much more sense as the companion piece. You can only hold your breath for so long, and now it's right? The exhale.
Yeah. I mean, I brought this up earlier, but like Tassie, like what Tassie's doing to me personally, like, feels, it's not like 1000% different, it's not at all, but like it has like a vibe where it just like,
yeah, like an airiness,
it feels like it, it feels, you know, like she always, they always, you know, there's always punctuations and stuff like that,
yeah,
but like this just like moves, you know. I think so. Honestly, like, I'm not trying to single out one band member, but like, woo!
Because we have a friend!
It was weirdly satisfying. No, not the comment, but just the the playing of it. Anyway.
So, are you guys going out on tour?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Finally.
Yeah.
It's been, 5 months that we haven't been on tour, which is odd. It feels
You all tour, like, so much, though. Like, you've been so busy the past, like, 3, 4, 5 years, it feels like. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, like, Instagram stalking, but, like, I'm always like, where's the Utah day? Where's the Salt Lake City day? I gotta bug these guys. I need to buy a t-shirt. Uh-huh. You know? Like, but, I mean, it really does feel like this band has been on the road almost nonstop, and, like, you guys have been like producing album after album. Like, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I know you guys, you know, it's usually like 2 years between albums, but with the body record in between and then like this one, and then it just feels like you guys are on a roll, honestly. Are you tired?
I mean, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think we get along and we like doing these things together. Otherwise, I don't think, I mean,
Yeah.
We don't make a ton of money on tour, so you got to do it just because it's fun. And we like to travel and we share all these common interests. And now we found someone we like making records with, and it's easy to go down there. It's just like everything fell into place to do as much as possible. And I worry a lot about maybe not being able to do this forever. I feel like things will happen where no one can tour anymore. I don't know. I don't want to be too negative, but like, let's do this while we can. And I mean, there's a label who's willing to release our music, so now's the time.
I mean, yeah. Thrill Jockey's so great. Yeah, yeah, of course. Great. Like, it's so, yeah. It's so...
Let's keep going. We'll rest later. I don't know. We'll rest when I'm dead.
YOLO.
Fear of missing out on YOLO.
Yes. 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 YOLO on the YOLO.
Yeah.
YOLO from a one.
YOLO once.
I want to thank you guys so much for taking the time to hang out with us and give us so much insight on this new record. I get to the part of the podcast where I'm super gushy, but I'm a big fan. It was actually John here that turned me on to you guys many, many years ago. And
everybody I know, I'm like, Big Brain, please. Call yeah. Big Brain. The new album's really good. The new album's even better. There is another album out that's really fucking good.
Yeah, and back to John's point, that's the thing. You guys are always doing so much stuff. I don't have to wait that long until he's like, oh, new Big Brave, you know?
Yeah. Oh, we have another record coming out in November, so.
No, you don't. Do you really? No shit. Really? Is it like a third piece of like what we just talked about, or is it completely something different?
No, it's just kind
of
like an experimental record, but we had time to go to the studio and just
truly experiment.
There's like no.
So you're like, we're going quiet, and now we're just gonna blow everyone's eardrums completely off their head.
In a way,
now that you've leaned.
Wait, really?
I mean, this new one's kind of just a fun project. It was like 3 days of writing in the studio, but I think this just shows of like what we want to do with this band, where like at this point we'll do whatever we want, and hopefully no one will ever call us a rock band ever again.
I'm so pumped. Did we call you a rock band on this episode?
You did.
Coop, you're in so much trouble. Okay.
No, I actually went through my notes.
Not call them a rock band.
And I specifically did not want to call them metal. Because
don't do that either
now.
I will give you one little fun tidbit about the record that no one knows about yet. Metzger built an instrument.
Or, like, no shit.
That ended up being utilized by all three of us.
Oh, nice.
Poorly built. It's
I'm so bummed.
It's already broken, but it lasted.
Good. That means you like played it correctly, right? That it broke? Like,
Now we got to go all the way till freaking November thinking about this instrument that he made. And
I keep forgetting.
Will you come back on in November so we can just bug you and like waste another one of your Wednesday nights for no reason?
Yeah. Especially because it was so much fun and both of you are so nice, so it's like a joy.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Appreciate it. That's awesome.
We try to be professional, but we always geek out.
Don't be professional. Just be you. It's so much more fun.
No, I'm a total nerd. I refuse to be professional. I love like all the bands we have on, and this is like one of my like dreams come true. So I don't even give a shit.
Oh my god! That's nice.
Everyone, go out there. By the time this podcast goes up, it'll probably be around the time the album drops. So everyone, go buy this record. Support. Weird, experimental, not rock music.
Yes, yes.
Thanks so much.
So thank you guys for hanging out with us, and we'll catch you out on the road. Hopefully you'll hit Salt Lake City. I'm from Chicago, so I know you guys will be hitting here.
Coop, yeah. Show the fuck up, man, because I might be waiting a year or two, 3 years, who knows, you know.
Wait, you're in Utah?
Yeah, I live like in like a suburb of Salt Lake City, so yeah.
Okay.
Shit. Yeah. So no pressure. No, please. Don't schedule a tour date just for me. But like, why? I'll just pay attention, you know. I'll pay attention.
It's call our booker.
Yeah, here's where I go look at the dates. Now there's no Chicago date, but there's a Salt Lake City date now.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, they're going to cancel your shit. They're going to cancel your shit because they're like, John's cooler than Coop. We got to go see him.
John introduced Coop. Yeah,
right.
Fuck him.
But thank you guys so much for hanging out with us, and we'll get out there. We'll see you. Buy this record, folks. It's on Thrill Jockey. Killer record, killer band.
Next Friday, or whenever this podcast drops, or whatever the hell.
I love it so much.
Yes, this has been the Crush Monocle podcast. Please like and subscribe, share, follow, whatever people do now. I'm your host, Coop. This is my co-host, John.
The lead big brave
Tessie's rubbing off on you.
I'm like the fan, I don't know, the head of the fan base of Salt Lake City Big Brave. So okay, I'm not gonna talk anymore. I gotta go.
And this has been Big Brave.
Thanks for having us.
All right. Good night, guys.